John chapter 19, 28 through 30, and then Hebrews 10, 1 through 14. Let us hear the word of God. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In reading from Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 14. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you will not be pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And the Lord our God put his blessing upon the holy word here in the book of Hebrews. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, you have blessed us this day, even now, with every blessing in and through Christ Jesus. But Heavenly Father, we ask for more. We ask for your Spirit to take your word now. Open our eyes and our minds that we may see the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. It's baseball season, so let's talk baseball. When a baseball team starts to lose, the coach, he may substitute a few players. He may juggle the lineup somewhat, hoping that it's going to bring about change. If the team continues to lose, then the coach understands that there is a bigger problem than simply shuffling the lineup. More than likely, the problem is a failure to execute the basics. The basics in baseball would be pitching, catching, running, batting. If they can't master the basics, they're not going to be able to turn their season around. Well, in the Christian life, there are some basic things that we need to understand. Sometimes problems in our life arise from bad and sinful decisions we have made, like David and some of the bad and sinful decisions that he made. Other times, to God's glory and in God's providence, you haven't done anything wrong. But he turns your world upside down, just as he did with Job. But during these seasons of difficulties, whether it is sin you have committed or maybe just a bad providence that God has sent your way, what you must turn to is the basics of the Christian faith. The basics of the Christian faith are so important because they are the foundation upon which you stand or fall. The foundational stone, the cornerstone of our faith, is that Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, has died for sinners. And that by suffering on the cross, he has paid the full debt, the full price, to ensure that God's people's sins are forgiven. Paul writes to the Romans and says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Think on that. Think on that. Think how wonderful that is. There is no condemnation for you. Do you sin? Oh, yeah, you sin. And you know what? You sin more than what you realize. But there's no condemnation for you. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our dark providence, whether it's brought upon by our sin or not, it is in reality a gift from God to bring you back to the basics. Our tendency is to move away from the basics. Our tendency is to want to put the gospel to the side and then try to live the Christian life. And we fail every time, because not only do you begin with the gospel, but you must continue with the gospel to live the Christian life. In John chapter 19, Jesus speaks about this basic foundation that we must always keep before us. Right before he dies, he says, "It is finished." What do you suppose he means by that? Well, when we translate that into English, we read it as three different words. "It is finished." But in the original language, it's just one word. And that one word is tetelestai. It's a commercial term. It was used in business transactions in the time of Jesus. It means paid in full, or the debt is paid. In the Roman world of the first century, when businesses were was conducted, the word tetelestai was written upon the ledger. And that indicated that the buyer no longer owed anything to the seller. You go to the store and you pay your bills, and maybe they put a stamp on it that says paid in full. This is what this means. Your account is paid in full. It means that you are no longer a debtor to the one whose debt you had to pay. And this is what Jesus is saying about your debt to God. You need to understand that we all had a debt to God. What was required of all of us is perfection. Sinlessness. Sinlessness in our words, thought, and deeds. We were obligated to give to God complete righteousness. You remember the hymn, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty"? You know, "holy, holy, holy" is referring to Christ. But what we so many times fail to understand is that holy, holy, holy is what is required of you to give to God. Perfection, righteousness, sinlessness. That is what you owe to God. Guess what? You ain't got it. Without a righteousness of your own, without being able to fully obey the law of God, like the sheriff said to the moonshiner, boy, you're in a heap of trouble. If you cannot provide perfection to God, then He will get the debt paid some other way. And it will be by your screams, your agonies, your tears in hell. This curse, this destruction is portrayed in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation when the swarm of locusts come up from the abyss to torment those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Those who are in debt to God will have that debt extracted from them in hell. But it pleased God. It pleased God not to have His people remain under such a curse. So to free you from that curse, God the Father sent His Son, God the Son, to become a man and to live perfectly, righteously, with holiness, in word, thought, and deed, never sinning. He kept the law perfectly. And so Paul, he writes to the Romans and says that Jesus has earned a righteousness for you. And he goes on to say, but now a righteousness from God, apart from you trying to obey the law, a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. In other words, what Paul is saying to the Romans is that Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. And once paid, once this debt has been paid, the justice of God will not allow God to extract from you any more payment because Jesus paid it all. Tetelestai, paid in full. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah says, I will cleanse them from all their sin they have committed against me, and will forgive all their rebellion against me. Prophet Isaiah, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You are no longer under a curse. You are no longer required to produce a holiness, a righteousness, a perfection in order to have your sins forgiven. Again, Paul, writing to the Romans, says that we are no longer under God's law. He says, where there is no law, there is no transgressions. All right, think a minute. Put your thinking cap on. If there is no law that says that you must stop at an intersection, then the policeman can't give you a ticket for not stopping at the intersection. Why? Because no law exists to judge you. That's what Paul is saying to the Romans. There is no law now that judges you. There is no law that judges you. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Romans 10. Christ is the end of the law, so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. Christ fulfilled the law. Now, the law is still important. The law shows us how to love God and love our neighbor, and we are to strive to keep the law. But you're not judged by the law anymore. When you sin, when you fail, guess what? God is not going, "Oh, I saw what you did. I'm going to put it up here on the board. And then maybe one day we'll get it erased." No. Christ has fulfilled the law, so therefore the law does not judge you. I'm going to be even so bold as to say that there is no law anymore that would judge you. Now, don't misunderstand me. We still have the law. We still have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments show you how to love God. Shows you how to love your neighbor. But when you fail, and you have, and you will, you're not condemned. Because the law no longer has power to condemn you, because Christ fulfilled the law. I'm going to say something else that's going to shock you. I want to make this very clear. You are not loved by God according to how well you keep the law. Let me say it again. You're not loved by God in accordance with your ability to keep the law. God doesn't love you more if you're able to love your neighbor. And He does not love you less if you fail to love your neighbor. When you fail, and you do, and you will, and we're going to continue to do that. We do not come under condemnation. Why? Because Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. God did not love Moses or Abraham more than David or Peter. Their obedience did not merit them more love from God. In our law system, the debts of one spouse can be charged to the account of the other spouse. In other words, the debts of the wife can be charged to the husband. When Satan tries to convince you that you're not good enough, that you haven't done this, you haven't done that, you haven't kept God's word, you haven't kept God's law. I mean, it's all true, but you need to be bold to say, if I owe anything to God, go to my husband Jesus Christ, and He has taken care of my debt. But wait, preacher. Wait a second now. Don't I have to do something? I know. I must believe. I must have faith. It's my faith that commends me to God, is it not? Yeah, you think so. You think it's your faith that commends you to God? Yeah, yeah. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and thus it was credited to him as righteousness. So what God does is that He looks at me and He sees that I have faith, and so therefore He credits me with righteousness. Come on now. You really believe that? Not only is that an incorrect reading of the Scriptures, but the Scriptures are very clear that no man will be justified by their works. And faith is a work. Besides, Abraham's faith, it was full of sin. It was tainted with sin. You think his faith was perfect? All you got to do is read the narrative of Abraham. As a matter of fact, you might as well go ahead and read Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and the apostles. Did they have faith? Well, sure. Was their faith perfect? Absolutely not. Their faith, though it was true, it's also true that their faith is mingled with sin. And that they never did, on their own, earn any kind of righteousness or perfection to present to God. Never did they merit anything that they received. But Jesus Christ, his faith was perfect. It was sinless. It was righteous. And God offers that righteousness to sinners, to all who will come to him. The writer to the Hebrews says, "We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all." Are you perfect? You're on the roll call up in heaven as being perfect. Are you holy? You're on that list up in heaven of being a holy people. But that righteousness and that holiness was not earned by you. It's given to you as a gift of what Jesus Christ himself earned. It's given to you as a gift, and Christ took your corruption and placed it upon himself. The Apostle Peter says, "For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." When a baseball team starts to lose, the manager may make some adjustments. But if that losing streak continues, then he knows that we got to go back to the basics. Get that right, and then everything else will take care of itself. When you're struggling, when you feel that your faith is wavering, when you think that the world, the flesh, and the devil just has the upper hand, go back to the basics. Hear the gospel again. Believe the gospel again. Understand that Christ is your righteousness before God. You cannot make God love you more. You cannot make God love you less. He loves you. God the Father loves you just as he loves God the Son. And God the Son has provided a righteousness for all those who would come to him. this basic understanding of our faith, it is essential. For without it, though one may be a Christian, yet he could cease to function as a Christian. Just like a ball team that's on a losing streak must return to the basics, we as Christians must return to the basics of the gospel. Not every other week, not every other month. We return to the basics of the gospel that Christ is our righteousness every day. Every day. And by believing the gospel and building upon the gospel, we will silence the sounds of guilt. You are guilty, the evil one would say. We will silence the voice of the evil one as we uplift Jesus Christ before him and before the world. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his faithfulness, his perfect faith. We thank you that through Christ you have provided a righteousness for us, for all those who would believe. Oh, Heavenly Father, bring us back to the basics. Let us believe afresh every day that Jesus Christ has died for sinners such as I. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our worship.